No, I'll see you. Thank you. Okay, I found the most ludicrous, crazy, dumb text I've ever read.
We didn't have our attention.
It worked. And where do you imagine it would be? Anybody ever read a text in the Bible where you say, that is stupid? Have you ever read one like that? What? Okay. I'm going to read to you the most ludicrous, crazy, stupid text I've ever read. I had to read it over and over and over again, and no matter how many times I read it, it sounded just as stupid. It's in the book of John. I want you all to turn to it, and you can underline it and whatever and say, this is the stupidest text in the Bible. John 21 and verse 3.
Verse 1?
I'll let somebody else read it because I can't even read it anymore. Come on, somebody read it. Anybody, just as long as everybody
Simon
can.
Simon Peter, is that 21?
Yes.
21:3?
Yeah.
Simon Peter said to the others, I'm going fishing. They told him, we're going with you. They went out in a boat, but didn't catch a thing that night.
You could relate to that.
The going fishing?
Not catching a thing.
Now, wait a minute. Look at the setting for that text. What is stupid about that text?
That they went fishing, in my opinion.
What's that, Roger?
That they went fishing. I don't like fishing.
Well, they left Jesus. They were with him, evidently. And they said, we're going to go fishing.
Everything that God had planned from the very beginning of the universe had all been culminated, and those men saw every bit of it. Get this, I don't know if it sinks in. They walked with God for 3.5 years. They saw the dead raised. They assisted in feeding 15,000 and 20,000. They were the ones reaching in that basket and just kept reaching and reaching, and all these fish and all this bread came out. They were the ones in that boat. And a storm came on them. And they woke up Jesus, and he stood and faced that storm and said, peace be still. They saw demoniacs running down the hill. They were going to kill them. And they took off running.
And Jesus waited until they ran. Finally, they came back. And here they were in their right mind. They saw the crucifixion. They saw the resurrection. They talked with God three times that we know of. It was all done. And they said, oh, well, let's go fishing. I see some of you shaking your head. How could they say that? It's the most ludicrous thing I can't imagine. What else could God do? And Peter yelling out denial three times and having Jesus say, that's all right, I forgive you. What is ludicrous about that text to you? Why would they say that? Maybe I'm reading it wrong. Do you see that as a stupid text? You shook your head. No, you don't see that as a stupid text.
No. What is? They were waiting for Jesus to show up, and they had nothing else to do.
Okay.
And it was their comment. It was probably a very soothing thing for them to
do. No, what's that?
Be out on the water was probably a very calming, soothing thing for them. Probably calmed their mind.
Oh, no doubt. It'd be very calm and exciting to go fishing.
Not exciting so much, it's just their normal routine.
Okay. Anybody else?
You're saying it could have been a therapeutic rest.
Yeah, they were waiting for Jesus to call them using better.
I know my uncles and my granddad, when they wanted to relax, it was down by the stream, mm-hmm. and they, as long as they could throw that line out there and wait for that little bobber to move, couldn't have anything better in life.
Let me ask you.
The kicker in the case is they caught nothing.
They didn't care, I don't think. They just wanted to be doing something.
What? The good book, I believe it says that we are to be made fishers of men. Now, exactly how we can put that in there, I don't know.
Hmm.
What is it?
Ron?
If you follow this train of thinking, that's really all these guys do how to do. That's what they have done prior to meeting Jesus. So their whole background, all their life, they have fallen on this vocation, perhaps it's a habit. It's more than just a hobby. You know, it's something they had to do to make a living. And so you raise the question, when they don't know what else to do, they're not sure, you know, the next verse is when Jesus was on the shore, but he asked the question, what have you done all your life that a pattern of life, a pattern of living that keeps you from contemplating the blessings of God? What have we done that we revert back to our old lifestyle, our old thinking, you know, instead of following the searching for the Spirit.
Now see, this is this lesson is on after the resurrection, after these marvelous things that had happened, how did they respond? What were their expectations? What did they think the Messiah would do?
Set up their kingdom on the
set up another kingdom, overthrow the Romans. And when that didn't happen, they said, oh, well, it was a good ride. Let's go back fishing. I cringe inside that what Jesus' life and the events that he went through, the impact it had on them, they said, oh, well, let's go fishing.
If we say it that way, it's a tragedy.
It's what?
A tragedy. All that experience. And let's go fishing.
Yeah. Yes.
I was going to say that Christ joined in with it in the end, though, and didn't seem to, he didn't chastise them at all.
Yeah, well, he didn't chastise them, did he? But he joined them, he came and said, bring some of the catch that you have and put it on the fire here. What just transpired before them? Number one, did they know he was God? You're all hesitant this morning. I guarantee you this is not a trap. I'm not trying to catch you and make you look silly.
What did you mean when you said, did they know that Jesus was God?
Did they know Jesus was God? Did they know they were walking with God? Absolutely not.
I think they did. So is it like in our lives, God will do something great in our lives, and we'll see it.
Oh, wow.
Miracle, but it doesn't last.
Yes, yes.
Then we wonder, where are you, God?
Yeah. That was sufficient for that time, but life goes on. They had no idea that was God. In fact, it says they were as men that awakened from a dream. When was that said? After Pentecost. They were as men who awakened from a dream. And the first words that came out of their mouth were, this was God. They couldn't believe it. That's why they went fishing. What else could God do to demonstrate his love? What is it about the cross that causes us to love God? Well, for all we know, there was a thief that responded. There was the man who carried the cross that responded. There was a captain of the guard that responded. As far as we know, nobody else looking on that cross was converted. You see, we're told a story about all of that, and we don't even realize what that story was about. Good morning. They walked for 3.5 years with a happy, good, powerful man. And they woke up And it shocked them that this was God. So, does that mean that today a heavenly being, even God, could walk among us and we not even recognize it? Yeah. And let me tell you the next thing, and don't throw books at me and don't throw chairs at me. Everything that Jesus did, everything that he said was enough. Nothing had to be added. Well, what have we added? What have we added to say, and this? And don't throw chairs at me. Look at what's happening in the world, and I do not criticize when I say this. There are over 35,000 religions, Protestant religions in the United States alone. You could look at that as a fault, or you could look at that as men striving to try to find the right formula. And what do we say as a church? Who has the right formula?
We do.
And every single one of those leaders, of those 35, I think it's really 37,000 churches, 200 major denominations, 37,000 variations. And every one of them would raise their hand and said, we do. Don't you see that it is the character of man to want to add to it? Why?
So we feel like we have some control.
Wow. Did you all hear that?
So we feel like we have some control.
We act as if what Jesus said and did was not enough. We would say, let's go fishing. I don't know if you see the ludicrousness of that text as I did or not. I cringed when I read it. How would you act if God sat right beside you and talked to you? You could hear the words of God. How would you act? You see, I say this again. What Jesus did was enough. He said, I have spoken the truth. But was it really enough? Tell me. You see, every one of us and all human beings since Adam have had the same dilemma. We're going to die. And we don't have one person to come back from that and say what it's like.
I would sure want to go fishing with him.
I'm sorry.
And I would sure want to go fishing with him because I would know that he knows how to catch fish.
That'd take all the disappointment away, wouldn't it? Hey, Jesus, would you feel that met? Sure. Cast it on the other side of the boat. Catching fish is simple. Do you realize what passed before you? Jesus was saying to them. Do you realize what happened? Do you recognize that Jesus also realized they never knew he was God? How does that impact you? Had you ever heard that before?
No.
They awakened as men from a dream. They had no idea. They thought maybe he could have been a good prophet, and they thought maybe he could have been the disciple, the Messiah, but they threw that away because they were still in bondage to Rome. They still didn't have their jobs as treasurer and secretary and administrator and general and all of that. They awakened as men from a dream. They had no idea what just passed before them. Therefore, in their stupor, they said, let's go fishing. In your mind, when you read the Bible, how would you have responded? How do you imagine yourself if you had walked with God, if you had seen what they did? And do you realize they actually saw live angels? Now, where am I going with this? When I say what Jesus did, what Jesus said was enough. Yes, no.
Sorry, I'm pretty simple about this stuff, but I mean, to me, if I had a big question like all of those guys did, I would have wanted to just sit back and think about it.
Yes.
Try to figure out what it meant. So I don't see a big issue with them, you know, working to be having the most relaxed situation and think this over. But yeah, they were in a quandary to try to figure out what it meant, but that's what they were trying to do, figure it out.
Absolutely. It's only natural. It's only natural. That's what you were saying.
I think it's because their expectation, what were they expecting?
Yeah.
You have to think about these, the culture. They have been trained with tradition and culture for centuries. And they were expecting something other than
absolutely
what came. They were expecting, Judas was expecting
absolutely
something different. And when he tried to help Jesus out,
yes.
You know, so he thought that, in my thinking, Judas was thinking that if Christ were arrested and taken before the brute, then he would step up and, well, we'll take over.
That's exactly what Judas thought. If I force him, if, force his hand,
he's
go ahead.
Going to help him out.
Yes.
And we too are guilty, I think, of sometimes of, well, let's help him out. I want to, let's move forward with this idea about how we should be worshiping. And I think that's what's happened when we've got 34,000 churches all around the country. Everybody has a different expectation and a different interpretation. Each one of us in this room probably would define God a little bit differently, perhaps. You know, I don't think we would all have exactly the same understanding of the law or the soul, try to define what the soul is. Each one of us will probably wrestle with a different idea, and we all have different expectations. And somehow I think that God knew this was part of mankind, part of humanity. When he created, as he did, man, he knew it's going to take some time. Jesus can be here for 3.5 years, but the Holy Spirit is going to be working for a long time. Keep working, until finally we begin to understand the love of Jesus as Jesus expected it. But that's a long way to say it. I think it's just a different expectation that each of those men had. They were confused.
Yeah.
They did not understand.
You see, that text is saying they had no idea what passed before. We read, this was God that did all that stuff. We think that's what it was. They had no idea that this was God. So it's only natural that they would go fishing. What has been the determined effort of man, the drive of all men since the fall?
It hasn't been to know God. At least I don't see it that way. Most reject God knowingly. But yet there are those that seek to know God. I don't know how to answer that.
What have man been seeking? We're all facing the same thing. We're all going to die. Is there another option? What were they trying to do by the Tower of Babel? Absolutely. Absolutely. Man is always trying to find another way to save themselves.
Oh, we're indicted. We are guilty.
Yeah. And we act as if what Jesus did was not enough. Mrs. White begged the church, don't write down doctrines. Don't write down commentaries. Because once you write it down, you think you have arrived at the truth, and it stops. All discovery stops. She's saying, when you do that, we think that's all there is. And why are you adding to what Jesus has done? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are you saying we shouldn't preach or talk to each other about it? We should just go through life letting God guide us.
Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah, sounds like that to me.
Don't pay attention. Don't say anything. Anybody else see that?
I just see that we have gone down the wrong path. We've got those 27, 28 fundamental beliefs. You've got to believe every one of them, or you don't have it. You're just bound for hell.
And see, it's not only that. It's not only the beliefs. I can remember what happened when I accepted Christ, I couldn't shut up. My heart started to burn within me. Something happened. I couldn't tell you what. That when we realize what God has really done, we can't shut up. But if we've learned all there is to learn, if we've gotten to a place where we're at the pinnacle of what we could understand, why talk anymore? What do you do with the statement that she says, heaven starts right now? We don't have to wait any time for heaven to begin, because heaven starts right now. How does that affect you? When will you celebrate? When you die and go to the grave and then Jesus raises you up and you get up in heaven and you say, oh, so this is what it's about. Is that when we begin to celebrate?
It's too late. We have got to have the experience, probably in fellowship or in fellowship, when we experience that tenderness, the caring, the openness, the acceptance, the joy.
Yep.
We've got to have that. Anything that we write that does not point us there, bring us there, or experience has got to be the point.
And what did Jesus say would happen to us when we come to him and we realize who he is and what he's done? What will happen to us? There is a change that goes on inside that I used to wrestle with. I had such shame and such guilt. And that's what was relieved when I met Christ. Yes.
I would say, let's take comfort in the fact that the disciples, his friends, for that 3 years, 3.5 years, they did walk with God, but they didn't really understand it completely. And so there was this confusion, disorganization. They started arguing about different things until the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will send you the Comforter. So if you look at the 3 or 4 years right there, where they were, and then later, when at the time of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Then you look at the ministry of these men. You look at the ministry of Paul later on, Peter, John, every one of them after. And how many years did that take place? Their ministry over the next 40, 50, 60 years impacted the planet. And I think the same could be said with us. You know, we are mere babes. When we first become exposed and first begin to understand Christianity and what Jesus did, and there's a growing process. Your thinking at that point is a whole lot different than it is now, 40, 50, 60, 70 years later. We've had that much time to study and the Holy Spirit to lead you day by day by day through this experience. So your concept of our concept of God and God's love and grace is a whole lot more mature than it was the first 3 years.
Okay. What do you think's going to happen when the latter rain comes? What is going to cause the latter rain? What is going to cause the light to go around the world like lightning? What's going to happen to cause that? What are we going to do? Are we more saved than the Baptist? Are we more saved than the Lutheran? Than the Catholics? In fact, are we more saved than the heathen who never knew his name? She says there will be a group there that no man can number, that will be sitting. Everyone else will be going into the city to go after the coronation. They'll be going into the city, and there's this vast throng that is left there by the in that ceremony. And when everybody leaves but that group, Jesus gets up and he says, "Hello. Welcome to heaven. I imagine you're wondering what this is and where you are." And Mrs. White says, Jesus takes that group down by the river of life and tells them the gospel story. Wait a minute. How did they get there? What did they have to believe to get there? When does a celebration start? What will cause the light to go around the world? What will cause the people to be so absolutely excited?
The latter rain will fall. The latter rain is going to fall.
But what's going to cause that? The latter rain is there to empower people who found out something. And how is that? You haven't discovered that. I've seen the look. I hear you. I see what's going on. Something has happened. An understanding of what Christ has done. An understanding what I have to do. You can't hide it.
We can't hide Christ when we have
him. Absolutely. Something is going to happen. You see, it's the nature of man to always try to find another way to be saved. And to go around what God requires. And do you see that we are working like crazy to hammer out a religion that finally has the right formula? Why are we doing that? If the Baptists are just as saved as we are, and the Lutherans are just as saved as we are, and the Catholics, and even the Aborigines. What will happen to the church that the light goes around the world like lightning? Do you think that we may be as men and women in a dream?
What was your last two words? I didn't hear your last two words.
That we might be as men and women awakening from a dream. Is it possible that we are actually in a dream?
Rob?
I get the privilege of baptizing someone that was converted to Christ in this class. December 10, I get to do that. What is that going to do? I think baptism is absolutely crucial. Not to save me, but to proclaim what he's done. Yes?
You say the Baptists are just as saved, the Catholics are just as saved. No, they aren't just as saved. The individuals that are Catholics, the individuals that are Baptists, churches are not, and denominations are not being saved. It's individuals. So it doesn't matter what that individual belongs to.
is the individual being the person that we've been instructed by God to be, and that's someone that's proclaimed that he is my Savior.
And could you say the same thing for the Adventists?
Adventists, absolutely, absolutely. It's universal across the board. Churches are not, or denominations are not being saved, it's individuals. And the fact that an individual is being saved, whether he's Catholic or Aborigine or Adventist or Lutheran or Methodist or whatever he is, has no bearing on his being saved. It's he has proclaimed that God is my Savior and I am his child, and that's all that matters.
Now you've got to really think through what you're saying.
Yes, I know. Me being here, sitting here this morning, is not saving me. Or someone sitting in a pew tomorrow morning in some other church is not saving them.
You see, what I'm going to say it again. I don't know if it's hitting you or not. What Jesus did, what Jesus said, was enough. It was enough. It's still enough. Let me read a couple things to you. By the way, I hope that you will, where I read that was in the Desire of Ages, where she says that they awakened as men from a dream. And by the way, the Holy Spirit didn't fall until they discovered that. Yes.
Baptism is into Christ.
Is what?
It's into Christ. We baptize yes. into Christ.
Absolutely.
But people pick a church because they think it agrees most closely with how they understand
yes.
the Bible.
Yes.
They're two different things.
Yes.
They always have been.
Absolutely.
And if I found another church that had what I thought was more truth, I'd go to that church. That's not the important thing.
Yes.
And so to confuse the two is kind of awkward.
Yeah. And that is the motivation that drives most people to find the right church with the right kind of truth.
But it's not all the truth.
No.
It never has.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, let me read something to you. Divine love has been stirred to its unfathomable depths for the sake of men and angels. In other words, they're still singing hallelujah in heaven for what Christ did. And we can barely get an amen. You see, the entire universe is secure. The entire universe is still crying out, holy, holy, holy. Look what God has done. So she's describing this unfathomable joy is with the angels and the unfallen world because they realize what God has done. And said, angels marvel at man's shallow appreciation of the love of God. See, it wasn't done just for us. It was done also for the unfallen worlds. They were saved by Jesus, what he did on the cross. And they grasped it. And they can't stop praising because of what happened. And the angels marvel at man's shallow appreciation for what God has done. heaven stands indignant at the neglect shown to the souls of men. Would we know how Christ regards it? How would a father or mother feel did they know that their child, lost in the cold and the snow, had been passed by and left to perish by those who might have saved it? Would they not be terribly grieved, wildly indignant? Would they not denounce those murderers with wrath, hot as their tears, intense as their love? The sufferings of every man are the sufferings of God's child. And those who reach out no helping hand to their perishing fellow beings provoke his righteous anger. The church is so busy playing church, they don't realize what happened to them. This is the wrath of the Lamb. To those who claim fellowship with Christ, yet have been indifferent to the needs of their fellow men. What did the disciples do? The gospel had been presented to them and they say, let's go fishing. Well, that's the only natural result for people that are asleep. It's natural. It means they didn't grasp what had happened to them. And it says, this is the wrath of the Lamb. To those who claim fellowship with Christ, yet have been indifferent to the needs of their fellow men, he will declare in the great judgment day, I never knew you. In the gospel commission to his disciples, Christ not only outlined their work, but gave them their message. Teach the people, he said, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The disciples were to teach what Christ taught. What Jesus did was enough. That was the truth. That which he had spoken not only in person, but through all the prophets and teachers, the Old Testament is here included. Human teaching is shut out. There is no place for tradition, for man's theories and conclusions, or for church legislation. No laws ordained by ecclesiastical authority are included in the commission. Did you hear that?
Do you have an affirmation here for what you are saying from your wife?
The story that you
did, she have her hand up and I ignored her? She complains about that all the time. Now I see why. Okay. Please go ahead.
The story that you just read is very confusing to me, and I've read it before and I've never totally understood it, because it's leading me to think I'm responsible for others' salvation instead of having the privilege of sharing about what Christ has done, and the privilege of sharing that their salvation is taken care of. That story made it sound like I'm responsible.
Yes.
And God's angry at me because I didn't.
Yes.
Take the time to tell someone so they could be saved.
And what would propel me to tell someone?
That I couldn't help it.
I was lost and I've been found. I was a sinner and I've been forgiven. That is what drives us. Look at this. In Christ is the tenderness of the shepherd. Thank you very much for pointing that out. In Christ is the tenderness of the shepherd, the affection of the parent, and the matchless grace of the compassionate Savior. His blessings, His presence in the most alluring terms. He's not content merely to announce those blessings. He presents them in the most attractive way to excite a desire to possess them. So His servants are to present the riches of the glory of the unspeakable gift. The wonderful love of Christ will melt and subdue hearts when the mere reiteration of doctrines would accomplish nothing. So, striving and wrestling to get all of the doctrines down is useless. Those doctrines are nothing but gifts that God has given me to help heal my soul. They're not in addition to what Christ gave me so that I can be further saved. They're an expression of a God who loves His church. And if I'm filled full of selfishness and greed, tithing was designed to awaken in me that greed that I have. I praise God for those additional insights. But they're not insights that make me further saved. They're for the healing. They're for the healing of the church. Not that we can stand arrogantly and say, now what do you believe about baptism? And what do you believe about blah, 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 blah? He's touched me. And He's made me whole. I'm going to have to call it quits the time. Give you a chance to get out your missiles that you want to throw. Father in heaven, to realize what You have done for us and that heaven is absolutely present in this room. There are angels in our midst. Oh, how they would love to make themselves known. But You want to drive us to the Word so that we can behold in the Word who You are and what You are like. That's what gives us authority. That's what gives us the proof. Those men walking to Emmaus, so troubled, they didn't understand what had happened. And You joined with them and walked with them. And You began with Moses and all the prophets and explained those things pertaining to Yourself. And when they got in that house, their eyes were opened as men from a dream, and they beheld You. Oh, Father, please help us to wake up and to realize what You have done. I thank You for this church. I thank You for the gifts that You have given us. But, Father, we many times are using the gifts, thinking that's what saves us. It is You that has saved us. Please help us to grow and that our hearts will become ablaze with thankfulness for what You've done. And if we can't grasp our condition, We can't grasp what your salvation has done. Please help us to wake up and to see the glory of who you are. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to be coming at you again next week.